This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church and their campus in Alexander City, Alabama. For more information, visit www.mypassion.church.
You know, in my study time this week, I find my study time is not just important to study the Word, to hear from the Lord, to bring a message to the people that God has placed for me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to, the congregation that He has blessed me and Kelly and I to pastor. But I look forward to this time because it's not just a time to hear from the Lord to give something to you, and I believe that pastors should give fresh manna. I'm going to say that again. I believe pastors should give fresh manna. And I believe that it's important that a pastor hears from God to share what he wants for that particular group of people. You see, when you become a part of a family like this and God sends you, appoints you to a place to go and worship and call your home church, the pastor's responsibility is to feed you what God wants for your life, but not just for your life, but so it will enhance your life to be a blessing where you have been placed. So important that we find our place, to know that I am where God wants me. I'm not only where God wants me just to be there to hang out or to hear the word, but I'm there to impart into others' lives. You see, you're a conduit. And God flows through you to minister to others in the body of Christ where He's placed you. It's so important to know that you know that you know that I am where God wants me to be so that I can hear what God wants for my life. So in my study time this week, I always get amazed at God when He shares something with me. But when He reveals something to me in scriptures, Brother Lonnie, that I've read so many times before, and that's why He calls it the living word, because it is alive. And you can read something today, a passage of scripture, go back tomorrow and reread that same passage of scripture. And if your heart is open to the Lord's going to reveal and can reveal something new to you from that passage of scripture. And in my study time this week, I was over in the book of John, and that was my study time. And as I was studying, I got to reading something, and I thought, well, now, Lord, I've studied this before. Well, I've even ministered on that before. But it's like He was saying to me, but there's more to this than what you've said before. There's always more. So I closed my eyes, and I began to just pray and meditate on the first line in the scripture, in the book of John, chapter 2. And I encourage you to turn there, and I also encourage you to take notes. I know when Pastor Bruce and Pastor Sandy were here as our pastors, Kelly and I have always taken notes, and it's so encouraging that I am so thankful that I took those notes. And I was looking at some the other day when I was in my study time, and one of my old composition books was under one of my Bibles, and it kind of got stuck to it. You know how a leather and plastic kind of get stuck together, and I When I went to pull my Bible, the old composition book come out, and it fell open. I said, oh, those are some of my old notes, and some from Pastor Bruce was teaching, and I just was scanning over it, and man, I began to look, and I thought, wow, that's good. I think I'm going to leave that out, and a little later after my study time and my prayer time with God, I think I'm just going to go back, and I did. I began to read some of those old notes that I had written down, and I thought, wow, God, you were speaking through him to me at the right time. Because on my notes, I would have the date and the year and the time and when I was taking those notes. And I would begin to reminisce about what was going on in my life about that time and how that God was using him to speak to my heart to help me go through what I needed to go through. So I begin to study this passage of Scripture in chapter 2 of John. And the very first sentence, it says, on the third day. On the third day. Look at your neighbor and say, the third day. Well, we know what happened on the third day. The third day, Jesus rose again. And as I began to meditate on this, I thought, on the third day. On the third day, Lord, you rose from the grave. And he shared with me, he said, you keep that thought in mind as you read. I love it when God talks. It's almost like when you're playing hide and go seek and you're searching for someone and you know you're getting close. You just know you've looked everywhere else and they're not there. You think, well, I know they got to be either there or there. And your enthusiasm, your excitement gets greater. And I was reading this. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Then I began to pause. I thought, a wedding? And he said, tie that in. Tie that in. I thought, tie it in? Have you ever had to ask God, would you explain what you're saying? On the third day, the Lord was showing me that in the very beginning, he said, well, on the third day, I rose again. But on the third day here, he was at a wedding in Galilee. And I began to put the two together. And on the third day, and we're having a baptism today, on the third day, this is a symbol of water baptism, is that we go down, and when we go underwater, we're going down as a dead man, go into the grave, and when we come out, we rise again. Because when he arose, I arose. And I begin to look at this, and, well, what takes place in a marriage? There's a union. Come on. A union takes place. There's some vows that says, I'm going to love you through thick and thin. And I begin to look at this, and I said, on the third day, when he arose, he was saying to me, boy, I'm alive, I love you, and I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin if you marry me. Come on. And I began to put, you know, and there's Lord, I said, you know, I said, well, Lord, that's pretty good. And the mother of Jesus was there, and I began to think about that. Jesus shows up. Now his mom's here. And verse 2 says, now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And I'm thinking, okay. And verse 3, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, speaking to Jesus, they have no wine. Mary knew Jesus. She didn't just know about Jesus. She knew Jesus. She knew because in the very beginning when she was to conceive, the angel said he will be called the Son of the Most High God. So she knew who he was. Now listen to what she says to him. We don't have any more wine. He said, well, When she made that statement, she did not say to him, Jesus, we've not only run out of wine, but I want you to get some. It's not written there. I want you to listen closely what takes place. Then he says to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. She said to him, we're out of wine. Now, when we have a big get together at our house, and if Kelly was to come up to me and she says to me, sweetheart, we're out of Coca-Cola. Because she knows me, and because she knows what I do, and that's to fulfill a need. Come on, men. She knows that she didn't have to say to me, baby, would you get in the truck and would you run over to Walmart and get some Coke or some Pepsi or Mountain Dew, whatever it is y'all drink. Kelly can say to me, sweetheart, we're out of Pepsi. Does that tell me all I need to know? Amen, men? So listen to this. Kelly would have faith in me. She wouldn't have to go into detail and asking me. I'm onto something this morning, folks. She's not asking me to meet a need. She's just saying there is a need. And your job, because your responsibility, because you're the one who meets the need. Hello. She doesn't come to me and say, will you go and get some Mountain Dew? She just says, we're out of Mountain Dew. Listen to what Mary said to Jesus. We're out of wine. And Jesus says to her, woman, what's that got to do with me? Now, I love the reason that's in there because that just kind of shows human nature. When we would rather sit there and finish watching the game, say, like, what's that got to do with me? The game's on, baby. We're behind 3 points and the game's getting close to the end. I can't go get no Mountain Dew. Unless we've got excuses after excuses. It wasn't that Jesus was making an excuse. He's making a point to her. What's that got to do with me? Because my time is not at hand. What I'm to do, what the plan of God for my life, oh, you all got to get this. The plan of God for my life hasn't developed yet. And you're kind of asking me, I know you are, to kind of do what I'm going to be doing here a little later on. But I ain't got there yet. And she says to him, we're out of wine. What faith? She knew he can. She knows he's the Son of God. She knows what he can do. Now, the Bible refers to the fact that this is the first miracle that was recorded. I'm convinced you cannot grow up in a household where the Son of God is growing up and learning and functioning under the anointing of the Most High God and not see something going on to know this boy can do what he needs to do. Now, I'm not saying that he didn't do some miracles and stuff at the home. He may have, but I'm not saying it. But Mama knew what Jesus could do. I'm going to say that again. Mama knew what Jesus could do. And I'm going to throw this on top of it. Because she knew him. I ask you this morning, do you know him? Or do you just know about him? You see, Mama had spent some time with Jesus. So Mama knew what Jesus could do. She was so convinced that he could do it, she didn't even have to ask him. She told him, "We're out of wine. That's all I need to say." What a relationship. He said he would supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. The Bible says that she goes on with so much faith, she just turns to the servants while Jesus is still right there and says, "And whatever he tells you to do, you do it." Because it's not written, but I think she may have said this, because just a minute or two, we're going to have some wine. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you have need of today. I don't know what you're asking God for. I don't know what your desires are for. But ladies and gentlemen, first of all, the scripture says, "I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory." When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is the relationship he's requiring of you. He's desiring of you that you don't have to go and beg him. Listen to him. Mary just said to him, "We're out of wine." That's all I need to tell him. That's it. When you know him and not just about him, you can say to him, "The light bill is due." Come on, if you don't have the finances for this is what you say. You say, "Well, I'm supposed to get on my knees and beg and plead." No, that's not what. Did Mary do that? And I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus had not yet died on the cross, forgiven the sins, had not been buried and rose again and brought intimacy relationship with Jesus at that time. It was still a filial relationship. Are you following me? And yet, she says, "We're out of wine." Then she says to the servants, "Just do whatever he says do." She was so convinced that he was going to do it that she told the servants, "Do whatever he says do, because he's going to need your help." Ladies and gentlemen, a miracle was fixing to take place. But for that miracle to take place, it required not just Jesus. And I want you to hold that thought. The miracle was not just the responsibility of Jesus. Hold that thought. Let's read on. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to do, just do it." Now there were there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. If we just say 20 gallons and you multiply that by 6, what is 6 times 2? Or 6 times 20? 120 gallons. That was some partying going on. Man, there was a lot of people at that wedding. Because they had been through the first go around. Because if you read it, it says in the master of ceremony says, "Wow, you saved the best wine till last." And usually they give you the good wine so they get you really happy. Then they can give you the cheaper wine, and you really don't know the difference. You say, "Pastor, you sound like you know what you're talking about." Hello. Oh, I'm sure I'm the only one in the house that had a glass of wine. A gallon of wine. I'm sure the only one in the house who had a barrel of wine. That's what I'm talking about. But that's a lot of wine, folks. Now, you notice when she was telling him there is no more wine, she knew there wasn't a Walmart down the street. And Jesus didn't say to her, he could have, "Mama, don't you know what day we're living in? We ain't got cars, trucks, trains, and buses, and planes. We don't even have a Walmart. All we got is jackasses and some donkeys and some camels and good old 2 feet. And you're talking about 120 gallons of wine? You know, I want you to see the strength of Mama's faith. For her to just say, we're out of wine, she was saying, Jesus is fixing to produce 120 plus gallons of wine. Just like that. I don't know what you're believing for, but when you have this kind of relationship with Jesus Christ, when you know him versus knowing about him, it's going to change your perspective in how you believe Jesus will do what you just prayed or what you just asked for. This is powerful. And I want to close out with this. God used Mary to inform Jesus. Now we got Mary and Jesus. There's two here involved in this miracle. God chose Mary to inform Jesus, we're out of wine. God spoke through Mary to bring some more folks into the picture to help produce a miracle. She said to the servants, just do what Jesus tells you to do. We read in the scriptures that it says, and Jesus said to the servants, go fill the water pots. Jesus could have already known in advance. Don't think that he didn't have a relationship with his father. He could have known in advance, you know, they're going to run out of wine. God could have said to him, they're going to run out of wine about midway through this thing. And they're going to have about another 5 or 6 hours of party time. And what I need for you to do, Jesus, is just go ahead and just make some extra. And when they need it, you just bring it into the house. He didn't do that. Your miracle and somebody else's miracle is going to take place because God uses you and others to make that miracle take place. We'll pray for God to bring the finances and we'll sit on the couch and hope that it'll fall from the sky in $20 bills, come down the chimney and land in the fire pot. So all I got to do is just pick it up and go pay my bills. Don't work that way. Does not work that way. He's got to use somebody, find somebody that can go and get the money. Are you hearing me? And then bring you the money. He's got to use a conduit. You, ladies and gentlemen, are part of the miracle. And he wants you to be a part of the miracle every day. So oftentimes we're thinking, we're just going, well, God, I'm believing for a miracle for this family. Have you ever thought to ask God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, can I be a participant in bringing this miracle into play that I'm praying for? Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you again. Have you got up in the morning and asked God, can you and will you use me to be a conduit, a participant in a miracle today? You see, what you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. If you're believing for a miracle, then ask God to use you to be a part of a miracle. And when you do that, you're going to find that God will begin working on your miracle. Because all miracles require someone else be involved in. Now, I know that God has performed miracles without somebody's personal help in my life. I remember one day I was walking by the dresser, and I had no idea that the mirror, that the dresser had been moved. And while because and when it had been moved, it made the mirror on the dresser come forward, and I didn't realize that the screws were not in the back of the mirror to hold it firm. And I happened to walk by, and out of the corner of my eye, I begin to see the mirror coming forward. And I just turned and reached for it. Well, to me, that was a miracle from God, because he let me see it to keep it from falling and breaking a mirror. Now, I know that God doesn't have to have you and I to perform every miracle. But there are a lot of miracles that are not happening because we're not being used to help make the miracle happen. And I'm convinced today that there is a miracle for you today. I believe that. I get up in the morning thinking, something good is going to happen to me today, beyond the ability that I have to make it happen. I'm convinced of that. So it changes your perspective. I hope this morning that you will begin to see that I need to have a relationship with God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in such a way that all I got to do is say, the car's not running, and my faith in him, he goes right to work. I go to him and I say, the power bill needs to be paid. I don't know if y'all ever been there, but I have been there. I've been there in times when there was no food in the house, and we said to one another, or I'd say something to Kelly, what are we going to have for breakfast this morning? Well, right now, there's no groceries in the house. Let me share a story in this in closing. When she said there's no groceries in the house to me, other than just a little pancake mix, enough to feed the children and I, and just enough coffee, and you know how I love my coffee, just enough coffee for you to have a cup. And the size of those pancakes ain't not going to be big ones. They're going to be silver dollar pancakes. Well, I want you to know, one of the men in the church, in one of the churches that we were attending, he was a prophet in that church. And he came by, and you know what Kelly had the audacity to do? Feed the prophet. Did y'all hear that? She fed the prophet. And Kelly had made the statement, there's not anything else to eat other than this. It reminded me of that story when the woman came to Elijah and she said, they're going to take my sons away. And he says, but what do you have? She said, well, I got a little oil. Kelly says, I've got enough for a few silver dollar pancakes to feed you and the kids, and enough for a cup of coffee. Folks, I know what it is to live in hard times. I've been there. But Kelly fed the prophet. And just a few hours later, and the prophet knew nothing about the empty cabinets. We didn't say a word. She fed him my silver dollar pancake. And I'm going to go on to tell you something else she did. She gave that prophet my cup of coffee. Now, Kim, that may not seem like a big thing to some folk, but to me, I could have chewed nails. Why does the prophet have to come over now? Because there was a miracle in the making. God needed to fulfill his word. The word was, you feed the prophet, I take care of you. That's the way the story went. Several hours later, a van backed up to our front door, and we had more groceries than we had room in the cabinets to put in. And we never said and told anybody we were without. But Kelly said, I only got enough to feed you and the kids. And that was all that was needed. Because she believed with all of her heart that she was doing the will of God. And by doing so, God fulfilled another miracle. Because she knew him. She didn't just know about Jesus. She knew him. I ask you this morning, do you know him? The next time, are you going to get on your hands and knees and beg him to do something for you? Or are you going to say, this is the issue, and now I'm expecting you to follow through? That is not arrogance, ladies and gentlemen. That is faith. And God gets excited when you believe that he'll do it like that. He gets excited over stuff like that. And you know what? I get excited as well. When I read stories in here and I begin to read, and I thought, Lord, I've never seen all this before. I've preached this message before. He said, well, you ain't preached this one. And I'm so glad that he brought to my understanding that I need to have the kind of faith that Mary has. That whatever, listen, whatever he says do, just do it. We're fixing to have a baptism. And I'm so excited that we're going to have a baptism service. So excited. If those of you are fixing to be baptized, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and head that way. Get your swim trunks on. I think Miss Sonia is going to play you a little bit of music. And I'm going to go put on my bathing suit, but we're fixing to pray. I want to ask you this morning, as your pastor, do you know Jesus? Think about that for a moment. I'm not asking you, do you know about him? I said, do you know him? I hope this message this morning will encourage you to have that kind of relationship, that the next time you ask Jesus about something, he's going to follow through with it for you. If you don't know this Jesus this morning, you need to get him in your heart. I want you to pray this prayer. Those of you watching online, I'm asking you to pray this prayer. You need this Jesus, and I know you want this Jesus. You need a miracle in your life. You need Jesus. And the greatest miracle you'll ever have and receive is the receiving of Jesus into your heart. So I'm asking you to pray this prayer with me. And those of you in the congregation, pray this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I look to you as the Son of God to forgive me of all my sins. Come in my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And I'll endeavor to make you my Lord and my King. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I believe with all of my heart that you have just had the greatest miracle of all times. And if you need more miracles, you fall in love with this Jesus, and I will assure you, through personal experience, you are on a journey to seeing not only miracles in your life, but miracles in others' lives. We're going to have a baptism now, and afterwards we're going to open up the altars. We're going to give these certificates away to those that are being baptized. But I want to say a special thank you this morning to two people. And I know that I could just stay here for a few moments and thanking so many of you for all that you do, the groundskeeping and all that's taking place. But I walked in this morning and I saw all these lights working. And I just want to say a great big thanks. I want to say it like this. Dad, thanks. Is that okay? He's my elder, but I know it's Arnold, but he's like a dad. And there's another dad that I have in the audience. And I just want to say a big thank you to right now. And it's Brother Phil, because he comes over and fills up the baptistry. Phil, thank you. You're like a dad to me. I have dads that I look to, because I know they're praying for me. I know their heart, and I know it's a good heart. Ernie, Phil, I want to say to you, thank you, guys, for what you do. Thank you for being strong men in the church and doing what you can do in the church. To me, you're generals in the faith here. Lance and all that he does to keep the yards mowed, grass looking good, him and Miss Leanne. Ken and Day-Day for putting the lights in. I could go on and on and on, but people are stepping up and fulfilling their place in the kingdom of God. And that's called advancing the kingdom of God. If you want to know what advancing the kingdom of God looks like, walk over to Passion Church, outside and inside, and you'll see what advancing the kingdom of God looks like as far as the natural. And right now you're fixing to see the spiritual side in the baptistry of advancing the kingdom of God. Souls being saved and being baptized. I don't know about you, but I am so proud and honored to be a part of a church where something good is taking place. Miracles are happening. God is on the move. And I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it and pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information about Passion Church, visit www.mypassion.church.